All right. Praise the Lord on this June the 12th, Lord's Day Sunday morning. Beautiful day. The Lord's given us to be in His house. Boy, I'm glad I'm in the family of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I'm watching things fall apart. I'm watching things really going belly up. And good to know everything's well in heaven. Good to know I'm a citizen of that country. Next Sunday's Father's Day. And praise God that we got a Heavenly Father to be thankful for.
Amen. Yeah.
That I've been adopted, and I ain't got no problem with being adopted. I'm glad I am adopted, but I'm in a big family now, going to a big city now. But this big city, we're not going to have to worry about any problems in this big city. They've got everything like it's supposed to be down here. It don't have the influence of man. It's run by God. And right now, buddy, man has messed everything God's made up.
Yeah.
I don't know how much further this circus or caravan can go, but I wish men could come to themselves. I wish they could do a minute of repentance. I wish they could return to God that gave them the breath and the life that they live. But what they do or what they don't, he's still sitting on His throne. Amen. All right, we're in Genesis chapter 4, and we preached out of Genesis chapter 4 last Sunday on confronting a killer. And God did confront Cain, and we'll read about that here. We stopped at verse number 5, and I'll go ahead and read down that verse. It says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And again, she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground."
Right.
And in process of time, now, that terminology doesn't tell us how many years took place. It says, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And we had read those five verses last Sunday. We want to start our lesson in verse number 6. We want to go, Lord, in prayer.
Yes.
Father, we thank You, Lord, for the precious Word of God. Lord, in Samuel it says that the Word of God was precious in those days. And Lord, we want it to be precious in these days.
Yes.
And I pray, dear God, Lord, You'd open Your words to us here today. Make Your words known to us here today. Lord, open our eyes. We might see the great truths and the great treasures, Lord, that it holds. And Lord, may You be honored in our efforts today. And we'll thank You and praise You, Lord, for all that You do. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This first verse, verse 6, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is our countenance fallen?" And like I said, the Bible tells us why he was mad over in 1 John, because that his works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. You know, a lot of religious things going on today. I've noticed Muslims killing Christians. Haven't noticed no Christians killing nobody. But the Muslims killing Christians are really terrible today that they're doing what they do here. But in 1 John chapter 3, it mentions about Cain, verse 12, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one." He had a problem. And I think his problem may have been that he was hanging around the wrong one, kind of like his mother, Eve, that hung around that serpent. She shouldn't have been there.
Right.
And I think it affected her firstborn. "But not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Now, this is going to tell you why Cain killed his brother. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Cain saw that he was wrong. He didn't like it. He's mad at God. But he's going to take his anger out on his younger brother. But the Lord here asked him, why are you mad, Cain? Why is your countenance fallen? I don't think Cain really wanted to have a conversation with the Lord. I think he was in denial. But the Lord went on to say to Cain, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? You know, God wants us to do right. Wants us to live righteous, godly, and sober in this present world. A lot of people have made different decisions in doing right. Under the cover of darkness, they do a lot of wrong. But God says, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And that's a question. God has asked Cain now three questions. He said, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. A lot of people have opened the door to sin.
Yes, that's right.
And now they're a child of hell. Now they're doing the devil's bidding. Now they're kind of like the demonic man that was in the tombs crying, cutting himself in Mark chapter 5. And he had major problems. And I think Bonnie, the reason he had major problems was he'd opened the wrong door. Jesus mentions him in Mark chapter 5. Said they came over the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. That sounds like somebody that might have opened up the door to something that affected them. And you know, I was an alcoholic for about 30 years, and it affected me. It affects my thought right now, and even my speech, and long term it'll have even more effects. But I think this man may have opened the door to sin. Verse 3 says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Now a man that can break a chain, that's not normal, because they normally bind people with chains and they don't break them. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. I agree with that statement, but Jesus could. We got a lot of self-help programs down here, and I'm not against them, I'm for them. I've sent a lot of scriptures to jails, a lot of Bibles. I've visited and preached there myself. But you know, we can't help, but Jesus can. And when it says, neither could any man tame him, this man needed the touch of the Master.
Right.
Verse 5, and always, he didn't have no peace. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But verse 6 here, listen to this.
Yeah.
This wild man here, this man out of control, couldn't be bound. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Oh my.
Yeah.
In my mind's eye, I can see this. I can see a man desperate. I can see a man demon-possessed. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Jesus had authority when he was down here, and he had authority over these devils that had possessed this man. And that's these devils crying out here in verse 7. And he asked him, talking about Jesus, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, talking about Jesus, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Now, Jesus having authority, verse 13 says, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. You know, he's in control, he's in command, and he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Mm-hmm. Bonnie, they committed hogicide.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't want to live with those unclean spirits. Even a hog's got more sense than man does.
Yeah.
It says, verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I just read that for this reason. Don't open the door to sin.
Right.
You never know how bad it can get. And Cain did open the door. And the Lord said, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. Sin, I've heard it said like this, you give the devil an inch and he'll be your ruler. But I shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And you know, at that saying right there, Cain could have repented. Cain could have said, I want help. He's talking to the Lord. He's having a conversation with the Lord. And a lot of people, even today, will have a conversation with the Lord. Verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. I guess he opened the door. I guess he wasn't interested in any help. I guess he thought, well, who's around to stop me? The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You know, we got a lot of reasons not to do things, but Cain put aside all those reasons, took matters in his own hand,
yeah,
and rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And again, he's confronted by the Lord. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. I wonder why he said that, Bonnie. Reckon he forgot where he left him dead? You see, we're all in denial. That's one of the reasons God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I remember, at the preaching of the Word of God, I saw just how wrong I was.
Yeah.
I saw just how lost I was.
Yes, Lord.
But I also saw a hand reaching out saying, let me help you.
Yeah.
And the same was going on here with Cain.
Thank you.
He didn't react like I did. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Now that's not true. He knew where his brother was.
Yeah, that's right.
Then he went on to insinuate, am I my brother's keeper? Now Cain is in denial. He don't want to accept any responsibility. But also remember this. I'm going to take it for Cain just a little bit here. This is the first murder that's ever been committed.
Yeah.
So he's kind of setting the stage for many to follow. We'll read about them in this chapter here in just a minute. But Cain, you know, I will say this. He could have done better. He didn't. But God didn't kill him. It says, am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground.
Amen.
Can you imagine how many people are crying today?
Yeah.
That someone has slain them. A lot of people are dying right now.
Yeah.
There's someone being murdered right now.
Yeah,
they're choking them to death. They're beating them to death. They're shooting them. They're stabbing them. They're running over them with cars. Man, they're throwing them off cliffs. You name it. Someone's dying right now. And their blood is crying out to God. Let me tell you something, buddy. God hears that cry of those that have been done wrong. And I believe it's in Proverbs chapter 6 about the six things that the Lord hates. One of them is hands that are quick to shed blood. And you know, we've took all the laws out, all the rules out. Now I guess it's just only the strong survive or something. But in Proverbs chapter 6 verse 17, verse 16, there's six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. And of course this is great Gay Pride Month. He hates a proud look. So much for gay pride. A lying tongue. I just described most of our politicians right there. And hands that shed innocent blood. God hates that.
Yeah.
He still allows it, but He hates it.
That's right.
And He wants the murderer to repent and tell God he's sorry. Now Cain hadn't done that. But he said, "Thy brother's blood crieth out unto me from the ground." Cain could have said, "I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was doing." He never said anything. And the Lord proceeded in verse 11, and the Lord told Cain, "And now art thou cursed from the earth." Mm-hmm. Cain got a curse on him because he'd killed a man. Morning, Sister Sharon.
Morning.
And he said, "Thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." You know, a lot of blood has been shed upon this ground. A lot of lives have been took. But you see right here in Revelation chapter 20, it says here, verse 11, "I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them."
Yeah.
The earth and heaven's gone. Only thing there is a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it, which is Jesus. He said in verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." You know, I just seen where they found a woman in a trash bag in a, I think it was in a manhole right there on her own property. They found her. Well, they may not find all of these. Some lakes going dry and they're finding people in 55-gallon barrels been murdered. They may not find them all. But look here. I saw the dead. All of those that's been killed. All the blood that's been shed. Small and great. Stand before God. And the books were open.
Mm-hmm.
And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Listen to this. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. You know, they couldn't find a burial place for Osama bin Laden. No country would accept him. They buried him at sea. A lot of people have lost their lives in the sea. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works.
Right.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
Now young people that have been killed, it just depends on how young they are. But they'll be innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Because they won't have the knowledge of the law. Paul said, by the law is the knowledge of sin. He said, "I have not known sin but by the law. For the law had said, thou shalt not covet." But without the knowledge of the law, where there's no law, sin is not imputed. So some of these that have been murdered will be innocent. They'll get to go into heaven because of their innocency.
Amen.
And if you break one law, you're guilty of all of them, so there's going to be a lot of guilty people. But anyway, the Lord said, "You're cursed from the earth, Cain, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." You know, a lot of people have buried a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's out of the sight of man, but it's not out of sight of God. Not only did God curse Cain, but look here, He cursed the ground. He said, "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength." He said, "A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth." Now Cain's got his sentence here for the crime that he did. And you know what Cain's answer is, Brother Ed? And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear."
Yeah.
Cry me a river, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
He should have thought about that before he disobeyed what the Lord told him.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Lord told him do right. He decided to do wrong. Verse 13, now he's crying. You know, some people get caught, and all that they're crying about is they're crying about the fact they got caught, Sharon. They're not sorry for what they've done. They're just sorry they got caught.
That's it.
But I'll tell you, you're not going to outrun the Lord. You might outrun the law. You might even outrun a bullet if you got a fast enough vehicle. I don't know. But here Cain is. He's crying. And he's crying to the Lord. And he says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Does anybody think about one of the punishments that Cain's dealing with now? Got guilt now.
Yeah,
he didn't have it before.
No, that's right.
I didn't like guilt. I was guilty of a lot of things. I'm glad God took it away April 27th, 1988.
Amen.
I haven't had no guilt since. But that guilt, but it's hard to deal with. Cain's guilty now. He's being judged now. And having that guilty conscience, he says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." He's not alone. There's a lot of people today. They're not sleeping good. God said He gives His beloved sleep. My wife, she said, "I wish I could sleep like you do." And I said, "Honey, just get right with God. It's a package deal." She threatened to knock my head off. So I just let it go with that. But that guilty conscience won't let you sleep. And I'm glad, praise God, my conscience is pure. It's clean. I've had a clean conscience for 34 years now.
Yeah.
He said, Cain again crying to God, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid." He's crying about his fellowship with God has been interrupted. And let me tell you something. Sin does separate us from God.
Amen. It sure will.
And Cain, now he's a sinner. He had a chance to repent, but he didn't. And he's complaining, and his complaint is, I can't see your face no more. He said, "Thou hast driven me out from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid." God don't, He's a pure eyes look upon sin. And Cain now, he's in sin. And he goes on to say, "And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." He's still crying. He's worried about somebody killing him now. He ain't no problem killing his brother.
Yeah, that's right.
You notice most of these people that kill people, they're looking for a gun-free zone.
Yeah,
they're a bunch of cowards. They don't want to get caught. They don't want to have to answer for their actions. So they're trying to slip in, slip out, and they like gun-free zones. You can take it for whatever you want.
Yeah.
We just had somebody recently say that he didn't think the Second Amendment was absolute. I'm wondering if he's absolute. Right now, we're in such a tyranny that they're looking at all the things that they can somehow dissolve. We better pay attention.
That's right.
Because a lot's going on right now. We'll be preaching about that a little bit today. But Cain here, he's worried about somebody killing him. He didn't have no mercy on Abel, but he wants some mercy.
That's true.
And he said, "If somebody finds me, they're going to kill me." And the Lord said unto Cain, and the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now this verse right here mentions vengeance. The Bible says, vengeance is mine.
Yeah.
I will repay, saith the Lord.
Amen.
But the Lord here is taking up a little bit for Cain. He said, if anybody does kill you, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain. Now that mark has been a lot of discussion about it, but it was a mark of protection to protect Cain. This is the first murder, the first judgment of murder. And Cain, even though he's guilty, the one that's talking to him is merciful. Let me read some scripture on that so I can back that up. And well, I just passed it up.
Blessing God.
Lamentations chapter 3. Of course, I ain't got it marked, but I will find it here. Bear with me here. Here it is, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed.
Yeah.
Because His compassions fail not. Thank God for mercy and compassion from the Lord, which is what Cain got.
Mm-hmm.
Says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I need new mercy every morning.
Yeah.
I mean every morning, buddy. I wake up, I need mercy.
Amen.
Well, Cain got mercy. He didn't get what he deserved, Brother Ed. But he did get a mark on him.
Yeah, that's right.
I, myself, I don't have a clue what kind of mark that was. I've heard a lot of speculation, and I would be speculating myself if I did. But there was some kind of mark put upon him to protect him. And God, that knows what he's doing, done it.
Yeah, that's right.
And said, lest any finding him should kill him. It made them think twice about committing the second murder. Verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. You know, that's sad. And that's his decision.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said, I don't want to leave, I want to stay with you. But he went out from the presence of the Lord. And like most people, he went to build a city without God. And verse 17 says, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. I've heard this said before, where did Cain get his wife? And I told you that verse 3 says, in process of time. Adam lived to be 930 years old. Genesis 5:5. When it says in process of time, I don't know how old Cain was when he killed his brother. I don't know how old Abel was when his brother killed him, but I do know this. They grew up and they offered sacrifices. And like I said, Cain got offended that his offering wasn't accepted. And all he had to do was offer like his brother, the kind of offering God required. Where do you think Abel knew how to give an offering to God?
Right.
See, God had made coats unto Adam and his wife, verse 21 of Genesis chapter 3. And that was a sacrifice. God sacrificed lambs to make Adam and his wife coats because the fig leaves wouldn't work, and he clothed them. And Abel here brought of the first and of his flock, now the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel. But in the process of time, Cain which Eve is the mother of all living. You find that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. So it had to be one of his sisters from his mother Eve. 930 years is a long time, but God's starting civilization. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Verse 18, and unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot, well, this ought to be good, Mahujal, and Mahujal begot Methuselah. Boy, these are tough names. And Methuselah begot Lamech. Now, I told you Cain was the first murderer. Verse 19, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, or Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. Now his, what would you call it, his specialty or his lot was to dwell in tents and raise cattle. He was he was the first Texas cattleman, old Rawhide, hit him up, move him out. But he was a herdsman, a cattleman. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. They've dug in caves and they found bones that had holes drilled in them, and they were even able to play them, and they play like the chords Brother Jerry says we're going to be in G or whatever. That's what those I guess you call them flutes or pipes or whatever. But this guy right here, Jubal, he was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. I guess his lot was music. One was raising cattle, and the other one's had a future in music. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naaman. You see, in this, really, we're just in chapter 4. You got cattlemen, you got musicians, and you got someone here that makes things out of brass and iron. I just want you to know, men wasn't stupid.
Right.
They never did walk on all four. They's made in the image of God.
Amen.
And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Now, we're dealing with death now. The world's getting populated now. And here Lamech says, I've killed two people.
Come on, brother.
He said, I killed a man, and I also killed a young man, in verse 23. Verse 25, it kind of gets a little better right here. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she have appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That's a good verse right there. You've got a young boy here born, and he's really taking the place of Abel. Abel was a very godly man. Cain was an ungodly man. But when the birth of Seth come to be, it said then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, this chapter 5 is kind of like I told you about creation. This is a reflection of what we've just read. Said, this is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. I hope you got the pronouns right there. But God made them male and female for a reason, so that they could reproduce and, you know, populate the world. Right. It wouldn't have went no further than Adam and Steve if it had been two males. It wouldn't have went no further than Adam and Eve if it had been two females. It takes male and female. Verse 2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So we know that Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born.
Yep.
So that helps a little.
Yeah.
We know that Cain and Abel had to be born sometime between 130 years. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. I don't want to live that long. I'm glad God did shorten the lifespan. Man, I don't even want to live the fourscore. I'm telling you, this man's made a mess down here. My mama used to say this is hell right here. She wasn't right, but she wasn't altogether wrong neither.
That's right.
Verse 6, and Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. Now you read about Enos up there in verse 26 of chapter 4. But this tells you how old Seth was when Enos was born. And he lived 805 years. Oh, he lived 135 years, begot Enos. And then after he begot Enos, he lived 807 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Enoch lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahali. And Canaan lived after he begot Mahali 840 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died.
Wow.
Oh my, I don't want to live that long.
I tell you, I was just sitting there thinking while you was reading all of them how long they lived. Could you imagine us living that long this day and time? No, we'd kill ourselves.
You ain't right kidding, now. Brother. You ain't kidding.
We would. No, this world is too bad for a person to live that long now. But back then, they wasn't. That, you just read one murder and that's it.
There was two there.
Yeah.
Yeah, verse 15, and Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. Can you imagine putting that on your tombstone?
Yeah.
You know, you got the beginning date and the end. I don't know if we got that many numbers or not. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. Now this is a different Enoch than the one we've just read about. This is why the Bible makes a distinction about this Enoch. I think it's in the book of Jude. Let me see if I can find this real quick. Here you go. Jude verse 14. And Enoch also the seventh from Adam. I want you to notice that distinction there in the book of Jude verse 17. Enoch also the seventh from Adam. So you know which Enoch that's talking about here he is. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Jared were 962 and 2 years, and he died. You notice every one of these die. And we're going to have to deal with it too, unless the Lord shows up. Hallelujah. If he does, we'll get out of that. Amen. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. Now I want y'all to pay attention right here.
Well, I'll go ahead and send thank you cards.
And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. How many days in a year?
365.
It says, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, the reason I want you to pay attention to this Enoch is he pictures the church.
Yeah.
The church is taken out before the judgment pronounced in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 6. I just want you to know we've not been appointed unto judgment.
Right.
And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So he walked with God 65 years. I don't know if you get that or not. He was 300 years old when Methuselah was born and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. So for 65 years, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. One day we're going to be a was not, because God's going to take us. It's not far off. I'm looking around, and I'm telling you, buddy, the signs of His coming are pretty predominant in any direction you want to look. And God took him, and the reason God took him, by the way, he didn't see death. Look here in the book of Hebrews. Somebody said, yeah, but Enoch had to die. No. No, Enoch didn't die.
No.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. I'm not going to see death.
No.
Man, I didn't want to die to begin with. I just didn't know what to do about it, Carolyn.
That's right.
I got it fixed, amen.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not ever going to see death, Addie. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. But for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Yeah.
I please God
right.
through the sacrifice of His Son Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to be translated one of these days. They can have all the electric cars. They can have the $5 gas. They can do what they want to do. I'm out of here, man. Then Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now his name actually means after him shall it come. That's what the name Methuselah means. So he's dead, so it's coming. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son, and he called his name Noah. Now I told you after Methuselah it's coming. So here we got a man named Noah saying this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Lamech were 770 years. Wow, 777 years, 37, and he died.
Yeah.
It's our last verse. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We'll stop right there. It's the last verse of chapter 5. I don't know if you picked up on all this or not. But the first death, and then you got two more deaths, and then you got a little bit of encouragement from Seth, then you got a little more encouragement from Enoch, but you got judgment coming, and the judgment's coming because of the curse and because of the sin, which we'll address in our next lesson. Has anybody got any questions or comments about anything we said this morning? All right, we'll stop right there. Amen.